Brethren, as we begin,
Joseph Wheat.
I just, brethren, before we start, I have one thing to say. Let's fucking go!
You hear me, Joseph there? Joe Wheat?
Holy crap! Holy crap! Oh, I have not felt this way about BYU basketball since Jimmer. Oh!
Guys, I missed the entire game. Okay, I was flying the entire game.
Speaking privileges have been revoked. I'm sorry. I love you, Jake. You can't lead with that. You can't jump into the spaces after the biggest BYU win in, I mean, dare I say, a top five BYU win ever. You can't lead that with, I didn't watch the game.
Dude, I was in an airplane. I was in the upper atmosphere.
I don't care. They make TVs. They put TVs on airplanes.
Hey, for the vibes and for what we needed tonight, I would say Jake was exactly where he needed to be.
And how about that, man? It wasn't me. I got to watch the entire game. Trevor, were you right? Have I been so supplanted as the gimmick guy that my curse has been broken where I can now watch BYU pull off big wins?
I think I've released you from that curse. So what you should be saying is you're welcome.
Goodness gracious. Ah, Hunter, how are we feeling?
I haven't felt this way in a long time. Like, dare I say, in the grand scheme of athletic wins, is this the best BYU athletic win since their win over Utah in 2021? Like, has it been nearly 3 years since we've had a win of this caliber that's gotten me this excited, that's had us juiced up enough to hop on the old Twitter spaces after a victory? I dare say we have not.
I don't think it's close.
Like, yeah, I'm trying Kansas to think, like, off the top of my head, like anything else that comes to mind. That, I mean, this is to go back to where we were before the season started, where, and we talked about this on the pod last week, right? We had a serious debate back in the fall, early fall, late summer, of who wins more Big 12 games, BYU football or BYU basketball. Like, that's where the expectations were for this BYU basketball team. And now to not only blow those out of the water, to cement themselves as an NCAA tournament team last week by beating Baylor, to be an AP top 25 team for the majority of the season, and then go on the road to Lawrence, Kansas, and take down the seventh-ranked Kansas Jayhawks. Like, it's beyond anybody's wildest expectations for this BYU basketball team. It's incredible.
Like, guys, Kansas has lost 17 games at home in the Bill Self era. 17, now 18. They've won 71 straight games when at home and leading at halftime. Dallin Hall hit four straight free throws, guys. Four!
A career high.
Oh, man. What a night!
I really don't want to be dramatic, but when we hit about 20 seconds left and the game was in wraps, I had tears in my eyes. This is like, I don't know about anybody else, but especially like in January, February, it's like coming right off of Christmas. You just finished up Valentine's Day. It's kind of that lull in the year. This is like, I now know what morphine feels like. Like, this was exactly what I needed into March.
Trevor, if you don't want to be dramatic, this is not the Twitter spaces for you.
No.
Drama
is throwing it out the window. That was amazing.
Like, guys, I might not say this
again, but now I feel like I know what it is.
BYU could lose every game the rest of the way, completely flame out in the NCAA tournament, and this season will have been worth it for me. Oh my gosh. Ugh. Holy smokes, what a win.
Let me just say as well, so much sweeter that we beat that flipping fraud, Hunter Dickinson. I hope he watches this game every day for the rest of his life and he remembers every free throw he missed. That sucks.
Okay, I need, can someone, Jackson, you do this for a living. Can you go through after, I want to know Hunter Dickinson's true shooting percentage after he elbowed Trevin Nell in the neck and after he flopped on what was an obvious no call. Can you perform that for me? Because what an amazing comeuppance to.
First off,
love it.
Second, yeah, I can well do said. That was, I mean, I still can't find the words, man. That was something else. I think, honestly, I have a hot take. I think this is the best win for BYU. I mean, in terms of like overall athletic wins, I'm sure I'm going to miss a smaller sport that doesn't matter as much, but like beating Utah was obviously a huge deal just for the culture. Winning at Wisconsin when they were ranked number 6 was a huge deal. That, I mean, this feels like that, but like on steroids, just because it's Kansas basketball. And I think okay. in terms of basketball itself, I think this is the best win BYU's had since beating Kauai at the Merit Center. Straight
okay,
up.
Okay, no, let's go through.
Better this. Than Gonzaga?
I think it's better than both Gonzaga wins, both at the Kennel when they were number 1 and in Pope's first year for different reasons. Like I would much rather take this win over those two.
So let's go through the power ranking. Immediate reaction, all the recency bias in the world. Where does stop me when we get to a win that's better than this? Danny Ainge goes coast to coast. Oh, that's a tournament game. Never mind. BYU.
Well, you got to count that.
Would you say this is better than Danny Ainge going coast to coast to go to the Elite Eight?
No.
Okay, fair. BYU over Gonzaga 2020.
This was better.
I agree. I think it was.
I think it's better because, like, here's the deal. Here's the deal with the two Gonzaga wins. And this is, if you'll let me on a pedestal real quick, on my ramyumptum. So I think the Gonzaga win in 2020, I was on my mission, so, like, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it felt like, you know, Pope had the student section, like, practice storming the court at Midnight Madness, which is 10 times funnier now with recent events. Like, that, I felt like the whole year in 2020 kind of boiled up to that Gonzaga win where like everything built up to that. And like without the tournament, that was just kind of like it was like the very end of Ted Lasso and like they finished set when they think they're going to win the league or whatever. And like, it's just really wholesome, but then they don't get to play again. Like one of those type deals with COVID, like it was just like good for the vibes. Obviously Gonzaga was really good, but like everything, like there was just so much energy. It was like BYU was not going to lose. And then when they beat them in the Kennel, it was like, that was the last, like, they weren't going to make the tournament that year. Gonzaga was really good, obviously, but, like, that one just kind of happened, and it was like, oh, yeah, BYU just beat Gonzaga. Like, that's insane. I feel like this one, like, being in the Big 12 and, like, kind of the story of this year where it's like, you know, there's still so much BYU can do, and the ceiling is still so high, and in terms of national attention, like, this is the louder statement. This is the more impressive win. This is program defining right now.
So Ames Flames also said that the win at the Kennel when Gonzaga was undefeated was better. Like, obviously there's an argument for that, but I agree with you, Jackson. Like, that, I mean, it was an awesome win, but it didn't mean anything for BYU. Like, it ruined Gonzaga's perfect season. I would say, like, if we're ranking, like, all-time improbable wins, that one's probably up there, right at number one. But in terms of, like, what it means for the athletic department, this is like, I don't think you can understate that this was BYU's welcome to the Big 12 moment. Like, football had a couple opportunities to do it at Texas and at Oklahoma. They were close against Oklahoma but couldn't get the job done. Like, BYU sealed the deal. They walked into a blue bloods house, literally the school that invented the sport, and ended a 71 game streak on their home floor to seal an NCAA tournament berth for BYU. Like, that's, again, all recency bias there. Like, talk to me in a week and I'll probably change my mind. But, like, this one's up there, man.
And I feel like when they beat Gonzaga in 2017, like, BYU had won at the Kennel before. It wasn't that absurd for them to win in Spokane. Like, BYU just did something that nobody has done this year and only 17 people have done in the Bill Self era. Like, that's absurd. No disrespect to the 2017 win, but way bigger.
I don't want to put cold water on the flames of this incredible victory.
Then don't.
We are talking about a road win over the undefeated, and not just like 10-0, but the 29-0 number one team in the country.
Hunter, in 2017.
I'm with Hunter.
What are we talking about?
Go bring your doom and gloom energy to the Red Sox, bro. Come on.
There's enough doom and gloom there. I don't need to add it to it.
You literally just scolded Trevor for like, oh, if you don't want to be overreactionary, this isn't the place for you. Out here spitting cold hard facts right after BYU pulls off the biggest win of its one of the biggest wins of its athletic history.
I will.
Hunter, I didn't watch the game. I didn't watch the game, Hunter, and you're an idiot.
Okay, that's
fair. That's a true Twitter space. That's the fairest comeback I've heard on Twitter from Jake. I'll put this Kansas win over the 2020 BYU win over Gonzaga. Okay. But like, again, we're talking about like the 29-0 number one team in the country. They are number one. It's the last regular season game of the season. Like that's head and shoulders above really anyone else.
It was a better win, but it wasn't a bigger win.
I will grant you that.
This is my thing with the games with 2017. It's like in hindsight, it feels like that was more about like just knocking off Gonzaga than anything for BYU. Like what benefits? Like what reward did BYU reap from that 2017 win? Honestly, not really anything, because it was the end of the Rose era. Like, it's kind of a nice like bookend to his era with two more years after that. But like this win is like people will watch this game and remember it, and like BYU will have there's clout to be had from this game. This isn't the game that people will pick BYU for their Final Fours because of, or recruits will lean BYU because of. Like this is a program altering game.
Jackson's subscribing to my argument a couple weeks ago on the podcast of like, I need a win to put on the Sunday selection graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
We've got one, baby.
It ain't Iowa State anymore.
BYU's three best wins now are Iowa State, who's like top 10 in the country. I think they're like number six. Yeah, so you have two top 10 wins and a win over the 11th ranked team in the country. And that's like BYU's resume so far.
And a win over Bellarmine.
How crazy is it that you get this game right on the heels of them being like, yeah, BYU shouldn't be ranked anymore. We know they beat Baylor, who was ranked, but they dropped this game at K-State, and then they just come out and they do this like incredible thing on the road that just almost never happens.
It's called the middle finger to the committee or the polls.
AP poll means nothing, but like the best part about this win is like, had BYU not beat Kansas, I'm starting to sweat a little bit. Like, I think BYU would still obviously make the tournament, but I'd have real questions about BYU going forward if they came in and then just got their doors blown off by Kansas. And there were opportunities. BYU was down by 12 in the second half, and they were in the double bonus with like 14 minutes left to go in the game. And I think at one point they missed 8 straight three-pointers. Like, nothing was going BYU's way. And then something clicked. And all of a sudden, BYU erases. Like, again, after they went down 12 points, BYU outscores Kansas by 20 points the rest of the way in Fog Allen Fieldhouse. Like, that has got to be one of the best 12-minute stretches I've ever seen from a BYU basketball team, right?
I think one of the best parts about this is – it shows maturity and growth through the season, because this win is what the Houston game would have looked like had Trevin Nell hit that three. And the story in that game was the same all along, like just couldn't finish, just couldn't take the lead, just couldn't get out in front. And they did it in this game. And it was coming off the heels of Mark Pope getting a technical. Well, in his right to get one, and Kansas going up, what was it, like 6 with like 5 or 6 minutes left? I mean, this is a team that just would not stop chopping away until finally they just finally took over. And my goodness, between Kansas State, what we saw from him on Saturday, Saturday with Kansas State and today, without a doubt, I think this is something that we weren't much of a debate. It's fully cemented now. But how important is Dallin Hall? He was 1-for-10 against Kansas State. We looked awful. And he single-handedly, towards the end of the game, willed BYU to a win. Dallin Hall is the most improved player on the team, the most important player on the team, and he's a sophomore.
Jackson, where's the
I think I'm busting out the apology for him. Yeah. I think I read your mind.
Trevor has to be the first one to fill out that apology for
him. Absolutely. Hunter, send it my way. I'll fill it out publicly.
Bro, I've said it. I said it before. I'll say it again. It's time to rename Building 9 at Helaman Halls to just Dallin Hall. Tonight cements that.
You know what? Great. Do it. Can someone please get me the picture of Dallin Hall nailing the dagger 3 in Hunter Dickinson's eye? I need it. I need it hung in the BYU Museum of Art tomorrow.
While we're on the subject of trying to forgive people for their false opinions on BYU related personnel and coaches. If you ever hear anybody talking smack on Mark Pope again, show them this game and then check them into a mental hospital.
Give him whatever he wants. Give him all the money. Give him all the NIL money. Like, we are a basketball school now until the end of time.
I think seeing him get teed up, first off, his game plan was fantastic. They schemed a perfect game. And seeing him get teed up and how the team reacted to that and responded to that, that's like the ultimate mark of a coach and his value. Like that's it right there. Sorry, I'm stuttering. But like, I mean, Pope, he's got to be Big 12 Coach of the Year. He's got to get national. Remember when everyone this past week was like, Danny Sprinkle is going to get coach of, he should be the Coach of the Year. Mark Pope just punted that into the sun.
Okay, guys, I got to tell you just a little anecdotal story. Sunday morning, I'm talking with somebody in the program, okay? And they're like, hey, are you coming to the Kansas game? And I'm like, actually, I've talked about it with some friends. I talked about my wife. Like, we were considering going to this game. I just found out I've got to fly to Boise. I won't be able to make it. And they're like, hey, cancel your trip to Boise. You need to come to this game.
Boise?
I'm like,
you passed on Kansas for Boise. Jake, you are...
Well, they do pay me a lot of money to go to
Boise. Boise or Lawrence?
I love you, brother.
Weird flex, Jake. Weird flex.
I know. I'll take all the heat I got, but sorry. I'll just smile. I'll smile laughing every time I pay tickets. Anyway.
I got to drop, but I'll leave the Twitter spaces going for you guys. But holy freaking crap, man. What a win. Go Cougs. BYU is a basketball school forever. Final Four, book it. Book your tickets to the Final Four right now.
Amazing. Joe, good evening to you, sir.
I think Jackson, right along the lines of what was said earlier with Mark Pope, potential coach of the year, we're going to just keep the high energy and over-exaggerations going. One of the things that the commentator said towards the beginning of the game, BYU had switched their defense coming down the court like 3 or 4 times already and just give Kansas a bunch of different looks. And he mentioned, he's like, this is very Rick Pitino of Mark Pope. And now to the end of this game, Pope, like, is that where he's headed? Is he headed towards Rick Pitino levels?
I mean, Rick Pitino level is like, that's high ground, right? I mean, I'm obsessed with Pitino. I think he's a top 3 college basketball coach ever. I think Pope is probably, in terms of tenacity and just intensity and zaniness, maybe minus strippers and NCAA violations. Like, I think Pope is as, like, if you're looking at Pitino's coaching tree, Pope might embody kind of what Pitino is as a coach more than anyone else. And I think that's going to take him far. And I hope that far comes in Provo and not at a Kentucky or a Louisville or a Washington or one of these other bigger schools. Like, it's just, I think the other thing about, I know there's been talk about Pope leaving for bigger opportunities, which, like, it makes sense considering he's not a BYU guy. He's not from Utah. Like, he doesn't really have this connection to the program that like, you know, a Kalani would to want to stay for life. But like I don't think Pope is going to be a BYU lifer. I would love to be wrong. But the thing is, when you win games like this and you kind of like, you put the program on your back and you feel the magic and like what winning is great, but like winning at BYU, like that's special, right? Like when you win games like this, that you kind of have that opportunity, it makes it harder to leave because it's like, why would I leave this? Like I could get a statue if I keep this up, right? Like, and I'm not saying like that could be flawed logic, but at the same time, like, I mean, how good does it feel to win at BYU, to do things that have never been done before in this program's history? BYU should have gone 3-15 in the Big 12 this year. That was my prediction before the season. And then I upped it to 7-11 once non-conference play ended. That's their eighth conference win. And they just did it at Kansas. You know, like, that's absurd. Like, to do that, like, just give him the keys to the kingdom. Whatever the church's stock portfolio looks like, just give it to Mark Pope. Like, I don't want any sort of, like, just, it would be so great if he was here for life, because that's just what he's doing. Nobody else can do what he's doing right now at BYU. There's one man who can do what he's doing, and it's Mark Pope.
Is it fair to,
like, going back? Go ahead.
To say that, like, the one thing kind of missing from Mark Pope's resume as a coach is an NCAA tournament run? Like,
yes.
I know there people will point to, yes, conference titles and, you know, regular season or tournament championships. But I don't put a ton of weight into conference championships for basketball, just because there, you know, there's so many conference games. You can be the regular season conference champion and then lose in the tournament. Like, it's all a little all over the place when it comes to basketball. It's not like football, right, where it carries a ton of weight in my mind. It's the tournament. And we won't know what would have happened in that 2020 BYU basketball team. That was a team that looked poised for a tournament run. But then you have obviously the first round loss to UCLA, and you have a couple of seasons missing the tournament. Like, I think Mark Pope may be just a March Madness tournament run away from really being one of the better and more sought after basketball coaches in the entire country. Am I wrong in assuming that?
Yeah. No, I think you're 100% right. And I think what's really appealing about Mark Pope is he's doing this at BYU. And he's doing this where he's been vocal about NIL frustrations in the program, right? He's been doing this with building through the portal, but not with necessarily like your highest rated guys. Like, we don't necessarily have like a true five. I mean, Foos is so physical and strong and hard to move that, yeah, you play with the five, you can dominate a lot of really good fives. But he's done this in an unconventional or atypical manner, which makes him appealing to, if you're any one number of these programs that's maybe a blue chip program and looking for an answer, if he makes a deep run in the tournament, he's got to be the guy who you're like, hey, let's send the bag. Let's go all in on this guy. And like, to kind of tying that back to what I was talking about on Sunday morning, talking to this person in the program, they're like, dude, no, like, I don't care if it's a work trip. I don't care if, like, whatever it is, you need to cancel this. I will give you tickets. Come to this game in Kansas, because we're going to win. Like, the people in that program on Sunday morning, on the heels of the loss on Saturday, were like 100% bought in and convinced that they were going to win this game. And like, being pretty aggressive with me, like, no, you need to cancel this and you need to go, because we are going to win. And that's like, you know, that's also like just a Mark Pope effect, is he's like taken this program that Jackson said, like, a lot of us were picking to hopefully win a few conference games, and now you just like pulled this off, and we're like talking about comparing him to Patino and being sought after at all these jobs. It's absolutely incredible.
So what does this win do for your expectations going into the rest of the season? We talked about it a little bit on the podcast, right? Like, if BYU were to win out the rest of the basketball season, could they be a 2 seed? All that good hypothetical talk. But I think especially the last couple of weeks, right, you lose to Oklahoma State, then you beat Baylor, then you lose to Kansas State, you drop out of the top 25, and now you go on the road and beat Kansas. We can start with Jackson and Jake and Trevor and Chandler, and, you know, everyone can chime in. But, like, moving forward now, what is your expectations for BYU, A, in the Big 12 basketball tournament, and B, in the NCAA tournament? Because I think especially after this win, like, 100% surety, the Cougs are going to be dancing in March. They're going to hear their name called on Selection Sunday on CBS. What do you expect from them, and how do you just see the rest of the season going?
I guess my expectation, like, BYU has to win a tournament game now. There's no excuse for them to not win at least one game in this NCAA tournament. I think a win like this, like, I mean, I had there's some reporters and others that I know around other Big 12 schools that have been texting me, and they're saying BYU Final Four, BYU Elite Eight. Like, everyone around the league is drinking the blue Kool-Aid. I'm not going to go that far just because this tournament's so weird, but, like, everything's kind of like, I mean, the vibes are so good right now, right? Like, this BYU team is a Sweet 16 team. They should be. Like, I expect them to win a game. I think they're going to go to the Sweet 16. I remember we were saying, like, oh, BYU needs to play in Salt Lake if they want a chance to win in the Sweet 16. Like, it doesn't matter. It's the Zach Wilson house. Any team, any time, any place. Like, there's no excuse for BYU to not win at least one game in the tournament. And I would be quite surprised if they didn't go to the Sweet 16. That's kind of my – and then the Big 12 tournament, like, the Big 12 tournament's weird. Conference tournaments are weird. I love them. Like, they're just – it's such zany basketball. I feel like BYU's going to – I mean, at this point, like, why not go – BYU's getting hot at the right time. That Iowa State win was big for them. They beat Baylor at home. That was kind of a stepping stone. Now they're beating Kansas in at Allen. Whatever the next step is from there, BYU's going to reach it. Like, whether it's knocking off Houston in the conference tournament or something crazy like that. Like, they're going to have an impressive win in the conference tournament. They're going to win at least one tournament game. And I'm pretty sure they're going to the Sweet 16. If they lose in the first round, please don't burn my house down. People are wrong sometimes, but I think I'm going to be right about this.
Man, I could listen to Jackson's hot takes all day long. I really could. I think my expectations is more for BYU's, this basketball team's expectations, which is now there should be no second guessing of yourself anymore. No matter who you play, no matter where you play, they have to go, obviously, to the Hilton now to play Iowa State. And they have to play TCU on Saturday. But now it doesn't matter whose name is on the jersey. Like, you beat Kansas in Lawrence. Like, you can go out and you can beat anybody. And I think that, for me, is all I expect at this point, because with such a hot start to the season, my expectations were make the tournament. Like, that's all I wanted. And then as the conference race moved forward, it was okay. Some momentum. We weren't shooting the ball very well. Defense was poor at times. So let's just right the ship. And now it's understand that you can play with anyone, just like Jackson said, anyone, anywhere, anytime. You've proven that not only to us as fans, but I'm hoping that that's resonating within yourself as a player. And those are my expectations moving forward now, is that you are now, as it were, the hunter, whether or not you're playing somebody that you think is better than you, it doesn't matter anymore. You can beat anybody. So go out and show it.
I actually want to hear from Chandler before I have to hear myself speak again. So I'm going to be quiet, let Chandler give his take on this.
Yo, yeah, honestly, just to repeat a little bit of what Jackson already said, a lot of the critique around this BYU team was that we kind of tend to fall apart on the road a little bit more than we would at home. And so getting a win on the road, albeit against Kansas, right? But a big win like that, especially on the road without the environment of the Marriott Center, without a lot of like the props we get for that, is really nice. And so this does shift my expectations a little bit. I do expect us to make a run. Like, you know, if we don't, it's our own fault. But yeah, that's primarily it. Just really glad that we could pull us off on the road, and go Cougs.
Hey Cougar fans, just wanted to tell you all about our new sponsor, Defense Drinks. Defense is a premium recovery mix specifically designed to aid in injury prevention and tissue restoration, setting it apart from typical sports drinks. Defense is formulated with high quality ingredients, primarily collagen and vitamin C, to help keep athletes playing the sports they love. Whether you're an athlete or just at home after a tough workout, Defense can help you recover and recover quickly. Defense contains collagen, which research suggests can help strengthen and restore tissues around joints, reducing the risk of soft tissue injuries. So head to defensedrinks.com today to place your order. Use the code HYPETRAIN at checkout for 10% off, and right now, get free shipping on all orders of $75 or more. That's defensedrinks.com.
Okay, so we had a Coug Connect tailgate. It was before... Oh, man, it was before the Texas Tech game. Yeah, actually, I do remember now. We had a Coug Connect tailgate before the Texas Tech game. Trevin Nell was there. Trey Stewart was there. And we were talking about the upcoming season. And they had just had like some alumni event where they had a bunch of alumni in to watch like a little blue and white game. And, you know, in that game, Mark Pope spoke to the team and spoke to the alumni. And kind of the example he used, I believe it was Texas Tech last year. It may have been a different team. But there was a team last year that only won 7 games in the tournament and ended up going dancing. And, you know, he's like, listen, this is the toughest basketball conference around. You know, it's our first year in there. What's that going to be like? There might be a learning curve. There's definitely going to be all this stuff. But we can win 7 to 8 games, right? He told them that. We can win 7 to 8 games, and we can get in the tournament. So I think even the team, the program expectations have shifted after this, right? Because now, I mean, that's like clearly that's done. You've won the 8 games, but it's who you've beat. And, you know, kind of how you've done that. I think that even the expectations within the program have shifted. And I think for sure you've got to win a game in the tournament, or we're all going to look back and be like, this was the most schizophrenic BYU basketball team ever. It was, might have been one of the greatest BYU basketball teams ever, but it's definitely one of the most schizophrenic teams we've ever had, because, you know, you've dropped some games. You had, like, probably no business dropping, blown some enormous leads you've had. And then, you know, you've had some of these spectacular games as well that you've done that. So I think this changes that you got to win a game in the tournament, depending on how the field lays, depending on what kind of seeding you get and who lays there. I do think the Sweet 16 is kind of a reasonable expectation. Maybe you get a sneaky bad draw. I know in the past some bracketologists have talked about BYU's applying for the request to not play on Sundays has made it difficult for the committee and kind of put them in at times weird spots that maybe not the best draws because of that. Maybe we'll see that. Maybe we'll get some Big 12 treatment, not see that. Maybe you'll get some just, you know, justified treatment of like, no, this is like a team with some amazing quad one wins. And we're going to give them, you know, this draw. But it's hard to say if it's 1 or 2 games, but you've got to advance in the tournament. It's not enough like at the beginning of the season where we're all like, man, it'd be just great to make the tournament. And even the team was talking about, hey, we can win 78 games, and in this conference, that's good enough to be the tournament. So, yeah, I think this changes everything.
Yeah. If you want to chime in kind of with your expectations, Joe's the meeting host and stepped away, so I can't add anyone to this, but the chat is open for anyone who wants to drop your comments and be able to add. Joe is back.
Can I just pop in and say, as far as expectations go, I hesitate to all of a sudden say BYU is going to be like a shoe-in for the Sweet 16-4 kind of deal, but I think it is absolutely should be the expectation that BYU at least gets to the round of 32, right?
Yeah, I think winning one tournament game is bare minimum, right? Like, to go all this way, to have this run in Big 12 conference play, to beat Baylor, to go on the road and beat Kansas, to have this incredible season and then to go out there and if they lose in round one, you know, as a top 5 seed, potentially, that'd be nothing short of a disappointment.
I think BYU, I mean, I'll have to run the Wackatology numbers tomorrow, but I think BYU has to be on the 5 seed line at this point. So again, you're definitely going to be favored in a first round matchup. I don't know. It's so hard to say. Like, going on the road at Kansas and shooting as well down the stretch as BYU did, like, my biggest concern for this BYU basketball team coming in is that they don't hit big shots against good teams on the road. Like, they just go tight, they get nervous, and they cannot make it happen for whatever reason. And all of that was completely dispelled because you just went into one of the most hostile environments.
What's up, Cougar fans? Let me tell you about our newest sponsor, Charlie Hustle. Charlie Hustle is the premier college apparel brand in all of the internet. Seriously, they have everything you need. They have royal, they have navy, they have white. Kalani could fill his entire wardrobe with just 3 clicks. From tees to hoodies to crew neck sweatshirts to 1984 memorabilia, they have it all for you. Head over to charliehustle.com and get geared up today.
We may have lost Joe a little bit.
Quick update. I just cooked up the Dallin Hall apology form. So if anybody on here needs to repent, feel free to fill it out and spread the awareness because a lot of y'all are guilty.
We'll reshare that. Shout out to everyone listening. Obviously, we appreciate everyone's support. This is going to be available on our podcast, the Hype Train podcast, on Apple, Spotify afterwards. So if you missed the start, you can go back and listen to that. Shout out to Johnny with maybe the best comment of the night, who's in the chat right now saying, Trevor's using ESPN broadcast equipment. So touching tribute by Trevor for the ESPN crew that had to work tonight's game. But yeah, I mean, going back to the expectations, I think absolutely you got to win one. I'm fringe on saying you got to win a second game, like Sweet 16 now. It's tough to be an AP top 25, to have the net ranking, the KenPom ranking that BYU has had all season long, and not find yourself at least in contention and be talking about Sweet 16 at this point. This is a talented basketball team. I put out the fraud or squad meter, obviously, as soon as the final whistle blew. This is an absolute squad. The squad meter's never been higher. It broke the computer system, how much of a squad this BYU basketball team is. And it might have to be the last fraud or squad watch I put out until they play a conference tournament basketball game. Just because I think there's no going back, right? Like, you can't go on the road and beat Kansas and be this much of a squad and then regress towards a fraud. A road win against Kansas, no fraud, goes to Lawrence and beats the 7th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks. So this team, absolutely a squad, and they'll be a squad for the remainder of the season. So, but yeah, we talked again about towards the start about the expectations and just like coming into the season of debating who would win more conference games, football or basketball, and the rate in which the expectations have accelerated to they could maybe win two or three Big 12 conference basketball games to, okay, they had a pretty good non-conference season. Hopefully we can win five and maybe find ourselves in tournament talks to, okay, they've won a handful of conference games. This should be a pretty good team. Maybe they'll find themselves, they should find themselves in the NCAA tournament, to now here we are with Jackson saying, this is a Sweet 16 basketball team. This might be an Elite Eight basketball team. Right, dare he say a Final Four BYU basketball team? Is this the team that can finally atone for the sins of earlier years where BYU missed out on a potential Final Four run during the Jimmer years, or the 2020 season where they looked poised for a deep NCAA tournament run and COVID had to cancel it? This might be the culmination of all of that, and what a treat it would be.
Hey, Hunter, real quick, I think you're going to turn it over to take some questions from some fans and stuff. But just real quick before you do that, there's a ton of BYU fans on here. There's a ton of people on here who are Coug Connect subscribers. If you're a Coug Connect subscriber and you don't follow the Hype Train podcast on Twitter, you must, and you need to start listening to stuff right now. These guys have great sources. They have great content. They're very well informed. I think it's one of the best mediums out there that there is for BYU fans, of all the content and all the things that are created. I think it's one of the best. So if you haven't done that, please go follow them, Coug Connect subscribers and people and everybody else who's here, and start listening to the pod. It's very well done. And if you're on here and you're not a Coug Connect subscriber, consider subscribing and follow us, because you can make a really big impact and get really close to the program. So sorry, Hunter, cut you off. I just felt like we had to do that real quick while we had everybody before we turned it over.
No problem. I appreciate that. Yeah, if you're not following the Hype Train podcast or Coug Connect, easy to go to our profiles and follow them. And if you're not subscribed to Coug Connect, do that as well. It's a great way to help out some of these BYU basketball players that just put on a show for us in Lawrence. So I do want to kind of maybe get into a couple of questions. I know we don't have a ton of time. We've been going for quite a while here. Again, we can't add you as a speaker, but you can ask questions in the comment section and in the chat. So we've got a couple here. T Squires 93 asks, where do you guys think we land in the seeding? Is SLC a most likely, assuming we maybe don't win the ISU game but do win the games we should? We talked about this on the pod a little bit. I think Joe talked about his Wackatology, which if you haven't read that, you should check that out. I'm sure he will have another one coming out after this big win. I don't know, my gut's telling me five, maybe as high as four, depending on how the rest of the season plays out. And if you can win a couple of games in the Big 12 conference tournament, I think you might find yourself as high as four. The concern is obviously going to be a little bit about what Jake touched on earlier, and that's the fact that BYU is not going to be able to play on Sundays, right? Like, that's the tough thing when you find yourself in BYU shoes is that you're going to kind of paint yourself into a corner and limit your chances of which bracket side of the bracket you end up on, right? If BYU is a 5 seed, but they can't play on Sundays, that might cause them to get a bad draw or even drop to a 6 seed so that they can be on the right side of the bracket. But what do you guys think? What's the most likely seed for BYU? And is SLC a possibility? I think looking at dates, Salt Lake would be a possibility. They play on the 21st through 23rd, which obviously that's not going to be a Sunday. But I would need to do more research in terms of, you know, if you win in the Salt Lake bracket, does that mean you somehow end up playing on a Sunday? It's a nuanced situation, obviously, that BYU finds themselves in. But yeah, Jackson, Jake, Chandler, Trevor, what seed do you guys think BYU ends up most likely?
1 seed, F it.
Why not?
I think they're a 6 seed still. If they win out and they have and they make some sort of dent in the conference tournament, I think you're looking at a 5 seed and a trip in Salt Lake. I think 6 seed is still probably the best because I think Bracketology had them at a 7 earlier today. I think a 7 is too low. I think a 6 is kind of a 5 right now feels too high. A 7 seems too low. The 6 feels just right, but it's still like, I don't know, this BYU team's hard to define just because of how schizophrenic they've been. But like, if they're trending upward, especially considering like the committee loves the TV ratings, that's going to play into a ton of it. Like, I was listening to a podcast today about like Rick Pitino and how St. John's has been kind of a disaster this year. But like, if they get a few more wins, the committee will love the idea of Rick Pitino in the tournament because he gets TV ratings and, you know, I mean, his resume. And I think BYU could be a similar thing where ESPN knows, okay, BYU is going to get a ton of TV. Like, it's a great story. Pope is a coach of the year candidate. Like, they could give BYU, especially in Salt Lake too. Like, I think the committee might be willing to throw BYU a bone and give them the benefit of the doubt for a few things. But I think if they make a dent in the conference tournament and they win out, you're looking at a 5 seed. Right now, I think it's a 6. I think it's going to be, unless they completely fall apart down the stretch, like if they win the games they're supposed to down the stretch and win at least one conference tournament game, I think they're set in a 6 seed, and I think that's ideal. But at the same time, I got to hop off here. I know The Rock is going to put out the flight info for when BYU gets home, and if people are going to go to the airport, I will probably be there for Deseret News action. But if you end up at the airport for some reason and you see me, please say hi. It'll be awesome to celebrate with you guys. And yeah, go Cougs. What a win. That's it's one to tell your kids about, right?
Absolutely. Before I go any further, Hunter, does my mic sound better?
It sounds better so far, yeah.
Okay, good. Well, we'll pray that it stays that way. No, I think Jackson hit it right on the head. I think 6 seed right now. But the difference now is there's a lot of room to grow and grow upward. You beat TCU. You're obviously clearly back into the AP poll. You might even be probably top, dare I say, like top 20, top 15, maybe. Just kind of depends on how the AP poll is feeling. And I think from there, you know, if you're able to sneak one out against Iowa State, which, I mean, would it even be like sneaking one out at this point? Because they just beat Kansas in Lawrence, which I say it and I keep waiting for it to feel real and it still doesn't. But if you're able to win a couple of games in the tournament, I think you can move yourself up to a 5 seed and bank on them playing in Salt Lake. It goes right back, Hunter, to that conversation we had on the podcast a couple days ago. All of a sudden you win the rest of your games. Are you a 4 seed? Are you a 3 seed with this win? BYU will find a way to bum you out one game, and then all of a sudden they'll bring you right back in, and that's what happened over Saturday and today.
I think one thing, can everybody hear me? I think one thing that is worth bringing up is that there's not that many teams, you could say, in like the Western United States really vying for kind of top 4 or 5 seeds. And BYU is really one of those. I would say maybe the other ones are like Arizona and San Diego State. And there's two sites out West that the tournament's going to be playing their first round games in, Spokane and Salt Lake. And I think it's been touched on earlier that Salt Lake is Thursday, Saturday. And so I think, to bring it back around, I think the odds of BYU getting those first round games, if they can get, if they can, you know, as long as they don't drop a stinker in the last few weeks, I think that the odds of them getting like a top four or five seed would really help them get into like a Salt Lake region to start out. And that would be huge.
Yeah, Spokane is out of the question. They play on a Sunday, and then they go through the Midwest region, which I think plays on a Sunday as well, in Detroit, if they were to reach the Sweet 16. Looking at it, it looks like there's four possible locations where BYU could play in the NCAA tournament to start. That would be Salt Lake, Charlotte, Omaha, and Pittsburgh are the four that would avoid a Sunday game. So it does look like Salt Lake is a possibility, which is great. Obviously, like, being able to play in front of the home fans, BYU has a phenomenal record at home this season. So it's obviously a quick trip for a lot of people coming from Provo, 40 minutes, and you've got a lot of fans coming from all over the state. So that'd practically be a BYU home game if they were to find themselves there. But again, if you got to be a four or a five seed if you want to be playing in Salt Lake. Obviously, one is going to be out of the question for BYU. And right now, bracketology on ESPN has Kentucky and San Diego State as the four and the five seed in that Salt Lake region. So a little bit work to do. I think you got to win the games you should win from here on out in the regular season. And then you got to probably win a game or two in the Big 12 basketball tournament if you want to be able to find yourself playing in Salt Lake in that first and second round. So, but thank you for chiming in. Chandler, did you have anything?
No, nothing really. Just excited to see how the rest of the season, you know, goes. And obviously with a few games left to play, it's hard to prescribe exactly where we end up. I do think a five seed sounds about fair for our record thus far. It's hard to know. Sometimes even our wins haven't moved the needle much, but you have to imagine that a win against Kansas on the road would do something for us. Like you mentioned, having that, you know, win to put on the graphic for Selection Sunday. So let's do that. I'm excited for, five seed sounds about fair, and I'm just excited to see where we end up.
And hey, there's a chance for a second win over Kansas.
It's true.
If they were to face each other in the Big 12 basketball tournament. So you potentially could end the season with a couple of, you know, say they upset Iowa State again on the road, coming up here in a week or two. And then if you get a win, you know, another win against Baylor in the Big 12 tournament, and then another win against Kansas in the Big 12 tournament. Now you're looking at a run that could have BYU finding themselves, you know, potentially at four. Trevor likes to say maybe a two or a three. We'll see.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. A lot of games left to be played.
Yeah.
I think something kind of underrated to look forward to just in these next couple of days is, like, Saturday against TCU is going to be crazy. Like, this is one of those wins that the Rock and the fans that have been to the Marriott Center this year. First of all, if you've been to a game this year, or you're in the Rock and you're listening to this right now, big thank you to you guys. You guys have been fantastic. I haven't been able to make it to a game yet, but you've been loud and I've heard it through the TV. But this is a type of game and a type of win that you bring just a little extra juice, right? Just not only does the team bring in a little extra momentum, but so do the fans and so does the student section. And I'm really looking forward to what that atmosphere is going to look like on Saturday. And I think if BYU can ride that momentum and ride it early, this game on Saturday could be, it could get ugly. I'm not going to predict anything, because if any of you guys here listen to the podcast, you know how much of a curse I can be. But definitely looking forward to what the atmosphere is going to look like on Saturday.
Please predict an early exit. I need to hear it on air in front of all these witnesses.
I will. I will not. I care about the Cougs too much.
Hold your tongue, Trevor. Hold your tongue.
Trevor, if you need a ticket and someone to go with on Saturday, you've got my number, man. Just shoot me a text. We'll make it happen.
All right. Well, prepare to hear from me.
Okay. Hey, real quick, if there's a quick anecdote, in the Coug Connect Discord, we had some people at the game, and this is the kind of story. It says, Marcus just came out of the locker room, and he quieted all the fans, and then he said, I came here in the summer, and I was not treated very well, and tonight, BYU got revenge for me. He says, and then he screamed up and down and jumped with joy. It was really awesome to see.
Yeah, I mean, a win like this has got to be huge for Marcus, right? With everything that's kind of gone on behind the scenes for him, particularly with the unfortunate passing of his father, you know, a couple of weeks ago, to be able to, you know, I know he didn't play, and, you know, it wasn't like he was the reason that BYU won this game. But even just being part of this group and a team that goes into Lawrence, where he started his career and where he, I'm sure, envisioned himself, you know, wearing the Jayhawks uniform and winning a lot of basketball games, to be able to come down there with the team and get the victory, I'm sure, or, you know, it's going to be an unforgettable moment for Marcus. And I'm sure, you know, Jake, you're obviously close with him. You'll kind of key us in on kind of what he has to say after the game. And again, if you want to find out and hear from him, I'm sure you can, you know, check out Coug Connect and subscribe so you can be in those Discord groups and the Twitter DM groups as well.
Yeah, you'll for sure be hearing from some players. We had some players on last night, even on the Discord, doing some Q&A and things. But yeah, very cool. I'm very happy for him. I think he like put that very succinctly and like appropriately. So pump for Marcus.
Well, everyone, we appreciate you joining us. We've been going about an hour now. So we'll let you all get back to your families. My wife's been texting me about why I didn't put my dinner plate in the dishwasher when I was done with it. That's because the Cougs were busy upsetting the 7th-ranked Kansas Jayhawks in Lawrence, Kansas. Too much excitement going on for dishes. So we appreciate you all joining, for chiming in the chat, asking your questions, giving us your answers. This is a Mount Rushmore victory for BYU basketball. That's for sure. This is one we're going to be talking about, you know, 10, 15, 20 years from now, is where were you kind of night. And it was incredible to be able to experience it. You know, we all are on this Twitter space because we love the Cougars. We love this BYU basketball team, an absolute squad. From top to bottom. So we appreciate you all joining us. And again, if you missed any part of this Twitter space, you can catch it on the Hype Train podcast probably later tonight. So go back and check it out. We discussed if this was the greatest BYU basketball win of all time and where it ranks. Is this better than Danny Ainge coast to coast or any of the Gonzaga wins? You can go back and listen to that. So appreciate you all, and go Cougs.
And be sure to follow Hype Train one more time, guys. Follow Hype Train. Listen to the pod.
All aboard.